ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day, I'm Carrington Clark, and welcome to Tax Week with ABC Business Daily. As the financial year comes to a close, we wanted to bring you a special bonus series, zooming in on how these policies might affect you right now and, of course, in the financial years ahead. As always, I'm joined by ABC finance reporter Emily Stewart, also known as Sensible Emily, editor of the Your Money Explained newsletter. Hello, Emily.
Thank you, Carrington. Lots to talk about today.
A lot to talk about. Now, we're wanting to dive deep into the world of capital gains tax and the capital gains tax discount, particularly with what it means for shares. And now there's been a lot of talk about this. There's been a contentious argument. The CGT changes that the government brought in, most of the attention was about property. But of course, the changes also affect other types of investment, including in shares. So the big change was getting rid of the 50% tax discount and once again moving back to a system where it's linked to the inflation of the years that you've held that particular asset. Now, must put the disclaimer out there, this is not financial advice. People should go and speak to an accountant or other tax professional to speak about their particular circumstances. What we're trying to do, though, is trying to give people some general advice, maybe give them a hint that they should go and look into this more deeply, but this is not financial advice. I want to kick off with, what do you think, Emily, people should know about the changes to the capital gains tax discount? Go broad picture, and what type of assets the changes affect?
I think you're right when you said a lot of the focus was on property, but I think it's important to remember that so many mum and dad investors in Australia own direct shares as well, and this is going to change what money they make on shares, essentially. So this is really important for people, anyone who owns shares outside of super, direct shares. It's important to understand how this is going to change for you. But one important key date, I guess, to remember is the 1st of July 2027, because that's when these changes will come into effect. So it won't affect any tax returns or capital gains you're doing for this financial year. So I think overall, we've got to understand the old system, which is where you'd bought shares sometime in the past. They grow in value, which is, of course, what you want to happen when you're investing, and then you sell them.
You hope they grow in value. Sometimes they go backwards, but the tax is matters on the other way.
Yes, I know. So you want them over some time as sort of mum and dad longer term investors. Usually you sort of, you know, you hold on to them for some time and then you sell them when they've increased in price and you make a profit. And so usually in the past, you would get a 50% discount on how much of that capital gains you would pay. And so that means that half of the profit you make would have no tax whatsoever. And the other half would be added on to your income that you might earn from other sources like working. So I think it's important to remember that your income from investments gets added to your income from your salary or from your wages, and then you were taxed at, you know, whatever your tax bracket was or what those extra income had pushed you into. And so, you know, it was quite a good system for people because half of that was not taxed at all. The other half was added to their income.
And that the basis, the reason why there was a discount was because, and previously we had a system, which is basically a back to the future system, what we're going to be looking at, which is that they didn't want to be taxing the increase in the value of those shares that was just basically due to normal inflation that you didn't want to be getting. And so back in the day, we had a system where you would minus the inflation that was happening in the time that you held that asset, and then you would minus out that, so you're only paying the tax on the profit above that inflation. And that's kind of what we're now returning to, right?
Yes, and I think it was supposed to be sort of easy for people to work it out, especially with shares where you've bought different parcels of shares at different times. It can be a lot to track and then to work that out. And so it did actually work out quite well for share investors under this system. But that's now going to change. So if you're buying shares from the 1st of July 2027 and then you're selling it sometime in the future, that profit that you make, if you make a profit, that will be now indexed to the consumer price index. And so then you'll only pay tax on the growth that outpaces inflation, but it will be at that minimum 30%. So if you had been on a low income and you were getting taxed at a lower rate, you will now be taxed at a minimum 30%. And I think that's because some people would sell assets, whether it's shares or property, in a year when they were on a lower income. Maybe they'd taken a year off work, or maybe they were, just happened to have a low income year for their business or whatever it was. But when they were in a lower tax bracket, and then they would overall pay less tax. So, you know, people were doing that, and the government doesn't want that to happen anymore. So now it's going to be this new system. But if you already own shares, you're going to have to sort of look into both systems when it comes time to sell.
Mm.
So for all the gains that you make up until 30th of June 2027, you'll still get the 50% discount on those gains. So for people that have held shares for 20 years or longer, or even for 10 years, a lot of that gain will have happened, hopefully, in that time period. And then if you're selling, you know, only a couple of years after these changes come into effect, you'll still get the benefit of all those years of growth if that old system is better for you. And then from the 1st of July 2027 up until the time you sell, then you will be using the new system. So it's really important to keep really good records around that new financial year, so that when it does come time to sell, you will know what you need to do from that cost base.
And again, this is our disclaimer out there. Our advice out there is to go and speak to tax professionals about this, about your individual circumstances, particularly if it is a little bit messy, depending on when you have bought shares. But very important, as you say, to be making sure you're keeping good records of it. I would like to go to a question we had from a listener, Diane, who is asking about that 30% CGT minimum. So Diane writes, "Good afternoon. I would like clarification on the tax change in the recent budget. My question relates to the minimum 30% tax on the capital gain. Is a self-funded retiree with a term deposit no longer eligible for the tax-free threshold of $18,200 on interest earned before paying the 30% tax on capital gain?"
So I think this is such a confusing area. And I think what Diane has done is confused assets with income. So the capital gains tax is only on assets where you buy something, it grows in value, and you sell it and you make a profit. But she's earning income from an investment, from having the high interest account or the term deposit. And so that should still fall under normal tax brackets. So Diane, you should still be able to get the tax-free threshold for that first portion of your investments when you're looking at the different tax rates. So that is unchanged. It is all about your investments in assets when you get a capital gain. So that's shares and property and those sorts of things. So I think you don't have to worry about it if we're talking about investments from income from interest.
Thank you. Question without notice then, if it was an asset that did where she was receiving capital gains, it is the case, isn't it, that if you're in retirement and you were below that tax-free threshold, you would be paying the minimum of 30% tax?
Yes, but there are carve-outs for people who are on the aged pension or on JobSeeker. And so you won't have to pay that minimum 30% if you can prove that in the year you sell them that you have been receiving one of those payments. But for most self-funded retirees, if they're not earning an income and they're just selling assets, yes, it'll be that minimum 30% when they come time to pay tax.
Thank you. That's very helpful. So one of the interesting things that came out of the budget papers, Emily, I remember when I was there reading it, were the arrangements for people who owned assets before 1985. Either they bought them or maybe they inherited something. Up until now, they haven't had to pay capital gains tax when they sold those assets.
Mm.
But that is changing. But how does that work, and what dates are relevant for those people?
Yeah, so if you bought shares prior to 1985, you were in this special sort of class where you didn't have to pay any capital gains tax. So you weren't, like your, you know, principal place of residence, you weren't paying capital gains on those profits when it came time to sell. However, now you're being brought into this new system. And so if you do sell those shares, those long-held shares prior to, that you bought prior to 1985, if you're selling them post when these changes come into effect on the 1st of July 2027, you will be assessed from that time forward on any gains that were made from that period of time.
Yeah.
But you'll still get all those years of benefits where, you know, any gains that you made between 1985 and sort of, you know, up until that 2027 date will still be tax-free. So you're still in a very good, favourable position.
Yeah, so you'll become liable to pay the tax, but only from the 1st of July 2027. And you've had before that, doesn't matter. But from that point,
not included.
And forward, you'll be paying the tax at the rate, but with the indexation.
Yes.
The other one people are interested in is around EFTs, which are obviously a way that a lot of people interact with the share market now, where you're buying kind of an index fund. You're not owning those shares individually in the traditional way. How do these CGT changes affect those type of holdings?
The same as direct shares. So if the EFT you've bought has increased in value and then you sell it, it will be the same rules as direct share investment.
So one of the interesting things, Emily, in the budget papers for me was when the government was laying out its case for why they were making the changes, they were arguing that when it came to property, which again was the major focus, that the current arrangements, or what are now the previous arrangements, overly advantaged people investing in residential property and people hadn't been paying their fair tax on the capital gains from those properties. But when it came to shares, it was a little bit more nuanced. That's for some people, those current arrangements were better, and for some people, the new arrangements would be better. Explain to us where people might be better off actually when it comes to shareholdings for these new capital gains tax arrangements.
I think it is difficult because there are so many different factors that come into it. Like you say, whether, you know, how long you've held the asset for, what your current tax bracket is, all those different things. So it is sort of hard to talk in a general nature. But now that it's going to be tied to inflation, shares that have very high returns will probably face a higher effective tax rate than they did under the old system. And shares with lower or modest growth, the inflation indexation system may sort of have a similar or even slightly better tax outcome, but that does depend on your marginal tax rate. So the sort of scenario where you might be better off with indexation is sort of low growth and times of high inflation, which is not really ideal as someone who's trying to make money. When you think about it, you don't particularly want low growth and you don't particularly want high inflation, but that is where you'll be paying slightly less tax. So I think we need to still be gunning for high growth, because even if you're paying more tax, you are actually making more money. So I think we're going to have to change our mindset a little bit about what's best for us under this new system.
Well, that's all we have time for right now. Thanks for joining us for this Tax Week bonus episode. And if you haven't yet, be sure to sign up for Emily's newsletter from the ABC, Your Money Explained. We'll link to it in the show notes. You can catch our usual episode of ABC Business Daily later today, and we'll be back in your feeds with more tax chat bright and early tomorrow. Catch you tomorrow, Emily.
Thanks, Carrington. Stay sensible.